Oh, hi.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the Trading Desk, live on Watchbox Studios. My name is Joshua Thanos, and this is
Jason Main.
Hey, and we are two of the head traders at Watchbox in Gothenburg, Washes. And we got a fun show today, don't we?
Head trainers as well as traders, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, another episode planned for tonight. We got a lot of photos queued up. I think today's going to be a pretty cool show, and we are cutting out a pretty big part of this also to talk to you guys on the chat. So we got some normal format stuff. What are we going to do first?
You got a watch? Are you wearing a watch or not?
I am wearing a watch.
Okay, so wrist shots. You go first.
And do wrist shots first?
Yeah, man.
All right, we'll get right into it. And you thought I was going to show you a watch.
Hey, look at you. You brought a weapon today.
Yeah, I don't know why you say weapon. I guess technically. So this is a custom. I got this at Blade Show, which many of you know I just went to. A lot of cool things about this knife, which I won't go into details, but had to make it a point to show you a knife. But behind it, you will see...
That is made from the bones of your enemies.
Yeah. It's actually melted down watches, reformed into... So this is my Pepsi Patty, if you want to... Diet Pepsi, whatever you want to call it. Poor man's Pepsi.
That's a Seiko?
This is a Seiko Pepsi Diver, Patty Diver, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know anything about
it. So technically it's the Patty. It's the red and blue before red and blue was cool. Day-date, cool watch. This is kind of my weekend watch, gearing up for doing a lot of physical activity this weekend. I am moving, so it's going to be kind of a beater watch for this weekend as it usually is. But I love this thing. I've had it for 2 or 3 years. And you can see it looks pretty good.
What does something like that cost?
$350. Okay. $300.
Cool.
Yeah, good watch.
Should I get one?
Sure.
All right. I will.
Have you ever owned a Seiko?
No, never.
Huh. I know something wrong with Seiko. That. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll get one. All right. And so today I was wearing my handy-dandy PAM 002, and Tim was making some sort of video montage or something and asked me if he could use it. He wasn't finished with it by the time I left, so I told him I was taking his watch. So... if you guys watch any of Tim's shows, can we get a close-up here? There we go. So you'll know that this is Tim's Omega Seamaster Pro Diver 300M, 2531.80.00. James Bond, this is the wave dial. I don't know if you guys can see
O's
the waves.
Or zeros?
Zeros. Huh. Look at the wave. And so this watch is awesome also because it's going to be reeditioned. I think I'm actually going to buy one of these. I've talked about it a few times. And I should just pull the trigger. But, yeah, so this is Tim's watch. It's a little tight on me. His wrist is a tad smaller than mine. But I'm still going to wear it and try not to scratch it too much.
Everybody in the comment box knows exactly what size Tim's wrist is.
That's right.
To the centimeter. 16 centimeters. Yeah. So
yeah,
slightly smaller than yours.
I don't really watch any Tim's videos. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Who's Tim? wrist shots. We see you guys in the comments.
Cool.
Looks like a lot of comments here, so we'll get to some of these throughout the show.
Alrighty. So so there's wrist shots. Next, let's jump right into this or that. Bam.
There we go.
Alrighty. So this week it was my turn to select first. Last week, I think I beat you.
I don't know. Did you?
Was it Longines, right?
So this week we're going to make sure that at the end of the episode we pull up the poll.
Yeah.
Because we didn't do that last week. Yeah,
but if you can go back and
I'm
see
just
last week's poll.
I'm assume that you lost, but...
No, I won. With the Longines, the Legend Diver is fantastic. Oh, so the
watch.
Idea that we were thinking of something, hey, let's try to mix this up, make sure it's not getting stale. So I decided, because I had a customer who actually did something similar to this, he sold his company, said he wanted to buy an I Made It watch, right? So something like a special gift for him to commemorate something, like a big deal in his...
Sure.
In his in his life that, a situation where he made a lot of money too, right? So I wanted to kind of buy something like an FU type watch.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is what I got because I, reached a big milestone, a goal. So I thought about it for a while and I decided I think something, if I were in this situation, I would choose, this watch right here. Day-Date 40 in platinum. With the ice blue dial, but this is the diagonal dial, right? So it's got like a cutout. Yeah, this thing's beautiful. So this is the new. This came out about a year and a half ago or so. They relaunched, or maybe 2 years ago they relaunched. Went from the 41s to the 40s, so it's a little better proportions. President bracelet, full platinum. This is in house movement as well from Rolex, and it's the 3255. fully in-house caliber from Rolex, and this thing's absolutely fantastic. If anyone's tried this watch on, it's flashy to guys who are watch guys,
right.
But if you're not a watch guy, you don't know what that is, right? So that's what I decided. I picked that watch. That's a watch that has a lot of presence, but it's also somewhat subdued too. So it's, you know, I guess you could have picked the gold, a rose gold or yellow gold variant if you really wanted to go flashy.
Extra FU, right? Yeah.
But this one with the price tag as well is going to be like the, hey, I made it watch. This is probably something that if I were ever to be in that situation, this is what I'd buy.
I can understand that. I mean, it's a cool piece. I don't think for me it's look, I made it. So Josh told me that he wanted to kind of do this subject. For me, I've had this watch on my mind for a little while. So this, I really love Jorns. As you guys know, I talk about them a lot. So the this is actually probably one of my favorite complications from Jorn. It's his 1300 movement. So it's obviously in house, but it's the chronograph. And this movement has quite a few kind of cool little one-off things about it, essentially making it thinner. It's a cam double date digit, as you see there. It's I think when you think about Jorn, a lot of people are going to start to think about, in the long run, his chronographs. He's going to be known more for his chronograph movements. All his chronographs have been a success. I mean, I really like the Centigraph. It's one of my favorite Jorns.
Yeah.
But I feel like this watch fit your subject a little bit better.
Okay.
It's a 40 millimeter platinum case.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that, you know, that presence on your wrist. It has that precious metal feel, so you feel like you're winning. You know, you're winning when you're wearing it.
Sure.
Fantastic movement, great presence. I love Jorn's like asymmetrical dials. Everything's always has a signature look to it. And for me, for a chronograph, for a watch, it's not really out there. It's pretty rare. And
what's
like
the price point on a piece like that? Say, like market price.
I think market price on that piece is rough. This is a limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
That watch does exist in a non-limited edition, but this particular variation that I picked is out of 99 pieces.
Sure.
And I think I saw them go for around $67,000. So
okay.
Just under retail on
sure.
your watch.
So roughly $20,000 more than what the market price is for the... For my date.
Right. And close retail-wise.
So, obviously, your watch is amazing, right? Nobody can really compare those watches in terms of, like, say, watchmaking. But one reason why I like this watch also is that you don't have to be a watch guy to own that Platinum President.
Right.
It's going to run, like, every Rolex. You know, you're not really going to have to, you know, worry about it too much. Whereas the Jorn, you're going to have to probably be a little bit more careful with the watch. So, like, that's a watch that the Rolex is a watch you can literally wear that every day if you wanted to. It's probably going to get beat to hell, but you could if you wanted to. It'll probably run for years to come, whereas your Jorn, you're probably going to have to be a little bit more careful with, too.
So the thing with the 1300, the reason why I like it is it's actually, because it's such a stout movement, it's actually pretty robust for
mm-hmm.
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue the opposite, in fact, that the Rolex almost looks like a stainless steel OP39.
Sure.
And a lot of people that aren't watch people would look at that watch and think it's like a cool $5,000 watch.
Sure, sure.
Whereas if we're talking about like the ultimate, I have some money on my wrist and FU watch, I feel like if I own both watches and I look down at my wrist, I feel more accomplished if I'm wearing the Jorn
as a watch guy. But if non-watch people who see either watches... They're going to see the Rolex and think that that's like a watch that symbolizes success, where the Jorn looks like, to most people, like a Seiko or something.
Yeah, so at the point
or Citizen or something.
So, again, for argument's sake, I'm thinking of it as, like, eventually when I'm the guy who's calling somebody like me
sure.
to buy a watch, I'm not the guy selling a watch anymore. I'm
mm-hmm.
I'm buying the Jorn.
Sure.
So
I got you. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you guys decide, because we've already made our decisions. Do we have poll results right now ongoing? Let's see. Hey, look at that.
There you go. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, I mean, I think we got a lot of smart people watching the show today. Honestly, this is fantastic. No fake news today. This is fantastic. Let me vote again. Hold on.
Oh, you're voting.
Oh, I can only vote once. That's not fair.
You voted for yourself?
No, of course.
This is fixed.
I'm not going to vote for you.
This is fixed.
Oh, God.
All right.
All righty.
So if I end up winning...
Yeah,
and you voted for yourself,
really
that's bad.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go to jail because of my deleted email. So there you go. Cool. All right. So this or that, continue to vote during the show. We promise. Obviously, we don't stay on topic very well, guys. We're not very scripted. But we promise we're going to revisit the poll before the end of the show. And if we don't, then I will just break the promise. all right. Next. So what are we doing next? Let's see here. All right, great. Let's jump into the market analysis. We have an interesting topic today.
We do.
Right?
Something I think we both kind of have some good opinions on.
Yeah, and actually, well, so your watch today that you're this watch, it kind of qualifies in this regard. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk more about special edition or themed watches that hold value versus ones that don't, right? So, you know, when you walk into a watch boutique, say you walk into, you know, an Hublot boutique or Breitling or one of these places, you know, a lot of times the people behind the desk are going to try to wow you with something, right? They don't know who you are. They want to show you something great. And a way to kind of impress people or from maybe like a salesperson's perspective, the way to impress people would be like to show them something that's limited or hard to get or special themed or, you know, along those lines. So they might show you, you know, some special edition that was made, you know, there's only 80 of these in the entire world and it was made for some obscure architect out of Brazil or something like that, right?
Right.
So, and they'll tell you, well, there's only, you know, say there were only 8 of these ever made it to the United States. So this watch is going to be very valuable. So if you buy this watch, it's going to go up in value, right? So what do you do? Do you buy that watch? I don't know. Jason, do you buy that watch?
I guess it depends. You know, coming from the retail side of things, I've definitely heard people pitch it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're kind of trained from the brands to pitch it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hype that comes out when you have, like, the same stuff in the case for 18 months, and then you finally get a piece that's limited, even between salespeople to say, well, like, this one's special, and I'm the one that wants to sell it because it's limited. So they, you know, they try and pitch it. It really comes down to, you know, we talk a lot. We talked a couple episodes ago about
sure.
just because it's rare doesn't mean it's worth money.
Right.
Right? So it comes down to the same thing.
Yeah.
What makes it rare and is it going to retain value?
Sure.
So we have a couple key points to that fact. But me personally, I think I like limited editions. I think they're healthy for the market
mm-hmm.
as long as they're done the right way.
Right.
And as long as they force the person who's ideally going to want that specific limited edition to go out and find it, and it's not just like
mm-hmm. or not even limited edition,
cool.
a themed watch.
Yeah.
So a themed edition. So some watches you'll see what we'll talk about. There's a certain brand that is fantastic at creating themed watches that are not limited really at all.
Right.
But they tend to hold more value than the same watch being
right.
you know, in an unthemed manner. So a couple things that you wanna ask yourself for if your special edition or your themed watch is gonna hold value over time, right? So is the theme or the figure that it's made for, so either it's a sports player or an athlete, or the theme itself, so like the country or whatever it may be, is
right.
it relevant, right? So if I make a, you know, a Antoine Walker special edition. You know who Antoine Walker is?
Do not.
Tippy Toes 3? Well, anybody who's been a basketball fan in the last 20 years would know who Antoine Walker is, maybe, if you're a hardcore fan. So if there's an Antoine Walker special edition Breitling, right, and they made only 100 of them, most likely it's probably not going to be
Breitling,
worth much more.
So
right? Well, there's it's Breitling also,
but
right, so whatever. But the point is, you know, he's not a super relevant athlete,
sure.
right? Or if I make a Michael Jordan special edition, you know, Hublot, that might, even though it's an Hublot, might hold more value because he's a more relevant figure. There's going to be
sure.
more people who are compelled to buy something based on
it appeals himself. To a wider audience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So is it a relevant athlete, figure, or team, or, you know, a theme? Is the theme relevant? All righty. In terms of the styling itself, so is the watch itself, is it some crazy polarizing, you know, bright green color, or does it have some ugly, you know, styling to it? Well, that's probably going to be less relevant than if it's, you know, just, you know, they make a blue dial,
sure.
whatever it may be, and that's the special edition, right? So how is the styling? Is styling on the watch, is it wide appealing, or is it polarizing? Because if it is polarizing, even though you might think it's cool, right, it most likely the watch is not going to hold much value because there's not going to be a lot of people who want to spend the money on that
right.
on that piece. And you're only going to be able to sell that watch to people who really care about that theme, right? So that's the second question you want to ask yourself. Third is the logo of whatever the theme is on a dial? Usually that's a death nail. If
right.
you put something specific to the theme, so whether it's a team logo, an athlete's logo, the flag of a country,
sure.
for the most part, those are going to be, and with a few exceptions, those are going to be, you know, but they're gonna be death nails for the value of that
right.
that watch. So if it's got a logo, think to yourself, most likely this might not hold some value. All right, unless it's an American flag.
Yeah, I mean that goes back to the overall appeal aesthetically. So if it's just something that someone, you know, if it's a again, we're talking about the rules, not the exceptions. Because there's going to be a limited edition comes out, and we'll bet against it. But we're talking about the rules. So, like, the AP Diver comes out, and it comes out in that green color, and we're all kind of like, eh. The green one happens to be the first one to sell out, and that's the one everybody wants, and now you can't get it, so the hype goes, you know. But anyways, we're talking about the rules.
Right, yeah, because there's going to be exceptions to everything.
Right, exactly. So the thing with it really comes down to appeal to market.
Mm-hmm.
You could lump in the logos on the dials to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you think is cool, and then it's just like buying a car. If you're buying a convertible, it's black with black leather interior. It's going to be much easier to sell than something that's red with tan leather interior, right?
Yeah,
you're going to appeal to a wider audience. That's kind of how limited editions work. Generally, what a brand will do, and then you touched on this, is it depends on the brand.
Sure.
Right? So if a brand makes four or five big limited editions a year,
mm-hmm.
they're probably not going to be as desirable limited editions than if a brand that does one a year.
Or one every 5 years.
Right, or one every 5 or 6 years.
They do partnerships.
So things like, you know, a brand like we made reference to Breitling, but a brand like Breitling or Hublot, they're going to do these, you know, every month. It seems like there's a limited edition,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that's an attempt to create artificial.
Limited with some of these brands is
an attempt to create some kind of artificial hype. But
right.
at the end of the day, like, their limited edition looks just as crazy as some other watch that they make in a regular production.
Right.
Whereas if you take a brand,
well, that touches on my next point. So
yeah,
Is the price point. So if you're looking at a limited edition that you like, and you're thinking to yourself, and you're worried about value moving forward before you purchase, is the price point reasonable in relation to the non-special edition same watch? So for example, like Hublot,
very
right?
good point. Yeah.
So are they're gonna take the regular Big Bang, they're gonna put the flag of some country on there and charge an extra $5,000 because it has that flag, but it has the same colorings as some normal model. So
sure.
That's something you want to look at. Say, is this is the price point jacked up because they numbered up, they put, you know, they made it 100 sure. piece limited edition, put a flag on the dial. That's something you want to look at. And and, you know, also the last thing you want to look at, and this is a little bit less of a strong point, but is this just a different color scheme to a regular edition
exactly.
that they also are color, you know, so is it say a less right. relevant color scheme,
different flavor of the same watch,
right? Different flavor of the same watch. So you look at that regular edition, you say, okay, well, that one trades for 50 cents on the dollar, so most likely this one's going to do the same. And just because they only made 50 of these, or 100 of these, or 500 of these, it might not matter that much,
right?
So those are things you want to think. The questions you want to ask yourself when purchasing a special edition, if value retention is important to you,
right? And then as a point, what we did was, with this topic, what we didn't want to do is just kind of beat around the bush and make very generic statements. So we actually pulled some models.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go one by one. I believe we have photos for each watch, so we can give you guys some kind of idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
And actually, I'm seeing some in the chat box and that we haven't set up to mention. But for example, and that was one that it's funny. I was in the office. I was like asking guys around, hey, help me out.
Right.
Tell me a special edition that holds value. And
sure.
it's funny because not many come to mind. We have some listed here, but somebody mentioned the Omega Seamaster Spectre, another one
yeah.
that holds a lot of value relative to its non-special edition version. In fact,
right.
I own the non-special edition 300M and a 300 Diver, and that watch is a watch that I sold privately for, I think, $3,000, whereas the Spectre selling for at retail or maybe above or just right around there, which is like
yeah.
$7,000. So that's another good one. But so here, let's start with what are some good special edition watches? Watches that you can spend some money there on, that they're limited special editions, but they tend to be holding value
sure.
in the market over time. So the first one I like to always point towards is the Audemars Schumacher, AP Schumacher. There you go, in titanium. So this is a watch that's been around for a long time. And, you know, the market in this watch moves up and down with the market as an overall standpoint, but it tends to be holding a lot of value relative to its retail. I remember looking up the retail for this. I think it originally retailed for somewhere around 40 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a watch that I think recently I looked up and is selling. Some of them are being listed for even more than that. So this is a good watch in titanium too. And that's
right.
another point. So usually if there's a special edition in a precious metal, they tend to take a little bit more
right.
hit than ones that aren't special editions. But that's pretty much true for all watches in general, right?
And I think there are some watches that have some merit to a special edition because you may only get it in that certain case size.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of brands that will do like a one-off special edition in a 38 instead of a 40. So that's cool if the watch has always just kind of been too big for you. Now you can get the special edition that fits your wrist better and actually suits your need.
Right, and you think to yourself, is this company just going to make the same watch without the special edition, you know, emblem or paperwork, whatever, and sell it, you know, otherwise? And I look, right now these watches are in the 60s, asking in the 60s. So
the Schumacher, wasn't that the, I may be wrong here, but wasn't that the first
44
piece to
offshore?
Have the squared pushers?
No, I think that was the Montoya.
The Montoya, yeah, right.
Which is also a great special edition watch to own because it does hold a lot of value.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Next we have, what do we have? Okay, so here's one from a brand that we were talking about before, Jorn, the Alessi special edition sport. So this was done for Jean Alessi, who's a friend of Jorn himself. This is also a watch that holds, you know, certain good value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the friend dial, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very cool watch.
Yeah. They make this watch without the friend dial as well, but it holds some good value. But this, it doesn't seem to detract from the value having that emblem. The LeBron AP is another really, really good one. There we go. And I personally like the watch. A lot of people, you know, it's a polarizing piece because LeBron himself is polarizing, being a Miami Heat fan.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen that piece with like black subdials to really set that dial off. But
I think it's a fantastic looking watch itself, and that's really what it is. And you don't have to wear that watch and let everybody know it's a LeBron watch, right? It was an addition that was made for him, essentially, and was limited. And these are watches you can find pre-owned for $60,000 and $70,000, which, you know, and it's not an easy watch to get your hands on either. I think it retailed for in the 50s or so. What else do we have queued up next? Oh, yeah, so here's one also, and this is what we were talking about before. Not every themed watch that holds value has to be limited. So, and Rolex is absolutely the kings at this, and that's the Cameron Deep Sea 44. There you go. So when this watch came out, it actually hurt the value of the all-black dial. You saw that go down, and these stay up. So this has been dipped some
still
in the past, but is now back up, and it's a really strong piece. They actually just re-editioned the watch in better proportions.
Right.
So, but this is a watch also that you're gonna be looking at right around list price. You know, easily find it around list price, and it is considered, I guess, it's a themed or a special edition, but it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely
not limited.
A themed edition. It's no longer limited or. I guess it really
it's as
was
limited
never
as
limited.
Rolex
I mean, yeah, Rolex is not a limited production watch. You guys know this. But it's still sought after. A lot of guys trade from the black into this.
Yeah.
A lot of guys buy the black because they can't get one of these.
Sure.
So it's a cool piece from that fact. And that's kind of, you know, not to go too far off, but why I like the 42 Polar.
Sure.
Is because it's way outside of what. But it's the same. The same idea. It's way outside the normal Rolex. So.
Yeah. So it's something. It's something. If you want something that's a special edition,
right.
But you don't want to go buy the Hublot or the Breitling or whatever it may be, that works really well. So the next one that we have, it's actually been a surprise because, you know, Omega. You don't think of Omega when you think of like watches holding a ton of value.
Sure.
So Omega Silver Snoopy.
A lot of people in the comments are calling this one out from the beginning when we first said we were going to do this. They're Silver Snoopy. So.
Over $20,000 these watches are going for. And I mean, ask me why, I have no clue.
Yeah, so what was that, 3 or 4 months ago, I sold one of these for $20,000, and
We just sold, so I know of a confirmed sale for $24,000 recently.
Yeah.
And I know when this watch was selling for $15,000, I was thinking, wow, for just like a steel Speedmaster? So it's limited to, it was like 1,300 pieces or 1,700 pieces. It's less than 2,000 pieces for sure. Which doesn't sound that limited. I mean, there's 50 piece limited editions for of other watches that you know are worth a third of their original retail. Where this watch was a $7,500 retail, it is selling for $25,000. I mean, I think so. That watch has a mass appeal. Speedmasters, people really really love Speedmasters, and the last say what 3-4 years, Speedmasters got really really strong. Speedy Tuesday became a thing in the watch collecting community. So
I think Speedmasters have always been a thing within a very small group of people.
Sure, but it expanded.
And then just recently, over the last 3 years, people started catching on to like that small niche.
Yeah.
Hey, why did these guys like Speedmasters? And then
it became a great watch. It wears so
which
nice.
Which happens a lot in the watch community.
Absolutely. I've seen somebody put that on a bracelet, on just like a regular Speedmaster bracelet, and it looks fantastic. But so
it's
that's
cool.
a watch
it's
right
not
now.
Worth 20 grand.
Well, it's worth more than 20 grand
to
right
some
now.
People, yeah.
Absolutely, for people willing to spend the money.
Yeah. So the next watch we have is the Bronzo.
Oh, that's right. So here's – I had to throw a Panerai in there. And Panerai does make special editions for certain – yeah, there you go. So this is the new Bronzo. They've made three iterations of the Bronzo. I consider this same as the as like the Rolex Deep Sea, where it's
sure.
not like – it's not themed other than – the material.
Right.
So it's a certain theme, but this is a watch also that trades. So the strongest Panerai, even when Panerai was kind of – Panerai values were in the dumps a few years ago. These were Panerai Bronzos, yeah. the 382, the 507, and now the 671. We're all trading well over $20,000. So
Yeah, the Bronzos never really dipped when the Panerai's dipped.
No.
At least not as hard.
No. And now they're hotter than
ever.
Now
they're back. Yeah,
they're
for me personally, a 382 is the best Bronzo that exists.
Well, it's the first one.
Like Tim says, there's
can
only be
there
one
can only be
one right.
first exactly. So there can only be one first. So if you're ever looking for something, you decide you really want a special edition, try to look for the first of the special edition. You know, but yeah. So the Bronzo is a really good option. Here's another one from Rolex. It's the Kermit, the Rolex Kermit. There you go. And this watch has exploded lately. I think people realized that you know it was an awesome watch, but you know. There's less and less of these that are out there in really good condition because you know these
right.
watches were sold. They weren't hard to get when they were sold. This now I guess you call this limited because
they weren't really that hard to get 2 years ago either.
Well, no, but I'm saying from a retail perspective,
right.
when these were being sold through brand new, they weren't that tough to get. But finding these watches with full set box and papers are going for over $20,000
yeah.
now. It's crazy,
it's
15
nuts.
To 20 grand. Yeah, it's somewhat nuts. I mean, and again, so this watch against just a regular, so just with the black bezel. Trades for like a regular black bezel Submariner of this age is going to trade for you know a quarter or
right.
a third of that price. So that's a special edition or a themed watch, not limited, trading for crazy money.
Sure.
And the last one I picked here, which is a recent release, is the Patek 5522, which is to commemorate the New York event that they had here. There you go, blue dial, stainless steel. A lot. This was controversial too, because like the 5524 in white gold. It's kind of somewhat of an ugly watch at first. It's not what you expect from Patek. But this is a watch that's going for like $50,000. It was like $21,000 retail.
Right.
So a limited edition. They only made I think was it 100 of these watches, something like that. Right. So. This is limited and special edition from Patek, which is you know the king of watches, especially now.
Right.
And it's trading for insane amounts of money. So these are some special edition watches that are truly hard to get and truly are holding a ton of value, if not exceeding the original retail
sure.
value.
The majority of them exceed retail original.
Right. Exactly. So let's get to the fun stuff that people really want to hear about. So what are the bad special editions in terms of value retention?
What? I was going to use a word we use in the office that I probably shouldn't say on air.
Go for it.
It's the dogs.
Okay, yeah. So some of the dogs out there. And we're just talking about value, right? So, you know, first question you ask yourself, if this thing's going to hold value and if the answer is going to be no, it's usually, does this company make a ton of special editions? Well, who's the king of special edition watches? Don't
be
bashful.
Hublot.
That's who?
Hublot.
That's right. So Hublot, right? So
Hublot.
Hublot makes some interesting watches. I like some of their references, and there are a few references that tend to hold decent value relative to their original retail. For the most part, it's not – if you're looking for value retention, it's not a brand to look towards. And one of the reasons is because they have been the king of making special edition watches. And if I used a –
seems like one a month.
One a week. I used an example earlier of a Brazilian architect, and there literally is, I don't remember it, you guys can Google it. You can send me the email if you have the answer, and I'll send you a thumbs up. I'm not going to say anything. But there's a special edition for a Brazilian architect. So they'll make a special edition out of anything. They're somewhat cool. But if that's a watch that you're buying because you think it's so limited and it's going to hold so much value, and I've had people call in who aren't really watch traders, and they were either given the watch or they bought the watch and they were talked into buying the watch because it was one of 50 or one of 10, right? So there's only 10 of these in the world. And right. They go, sir, there are many more than 10 of these watches. Not all of them have, you know, this emblem on them, and unfortunately that doesn't really matter. And just right. because you spent $43,000 on it doesn't mean it's going to be worth anything near that.
Sure. It's actually going to hurt you.
Yeah. It's going to hurt you even more because there's a limited market for it, right? So it seems like from an outsider view, it's counterintuitive, right? If there's only 50 of these made, well, there must be more than 50 people who want this, so it's got to be worth a lot. Well, right. No, not really at all. You know, and when it comes to special editions, Hublot is the king. What's another brand that really doesn't that makes a lot of special editions?
Breitling.
Yeah. So
not great.
We were racking our brains for really any Breitling that holds a ton of value.
It's tough. It's slim pickings.
Right. There aren't any. So, yeah. But besides that, special edition Breitlings, they tend to have a little bit higher price tag, which is unfortunate. And usually they're just, so, you know, there's a Chronomat 44, but this one has yellow on the dial. So right. It's a special edition.
Or even worse, 1500. Yeah, it's like yellow secondhand on the chronograph, or yellow pointers is on the tip of the, right. And it's a
so
limited
less
edition.
Discount through retail right. or whatever it may be. And it's like, oh man, you know, And while that is probably cool and there probably are people looking for that, those people are not willing to spend more money. And that's what it comes down to, it, right? You know, it's the buyers who didn't get a chance to buy it through the retailer, how much are they willing to pay in order to get a hold of that watch?
I gotta shout one out from the comment box.
Go,
the
go.
The Bentley flying the jump hour. The B01 jump hour.
Oh, God.
Squared Breitling.
Oh, yes. The Flying B.
Yeah, the Flying B.
Yeah,
that's a watch that at a retail level, I heard people say, no, we don't discount this watch at a Breitling boutique. And I just, you mean $3,000 watch
okay.
on a secondary?
So I own a Breitling. I like Breitlings. I like certain Breitlings. I think that is, if you're going to look at relative value from a brand that sells watches that holds some sort of value at all, right? So it's not an Invicta. That is probably the watch that holds the least amount of value out of any watch that's ever been. So I've been working in this industry for 5 years. I think almost every single Breitling Flying B we've lost money on.
Yeah. It's not a watch we actively look to purchase. When people ask us to buy it, we're like, would you be interested in a trade? Because it's a risky proposition as a dealer.
Yeah, I'd rather not
buy
the watch.
Yeah, they're hard to get rid of.
I don't know.
And why that is because of the limited market, like we talk about. It's just not a lot
well,
of appeal.
Yeah.
It's not a very particular pretty watch.
We were recently offered a full diamond, baguette diamond version of that watch that had like a $250,000 retail.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any price at which I'd feel comfortable owning that watch as a speculative buyer.
Sure.
So,
I mean,
so there you
grand,
go.
Maybe,
but. All right, we went on a little tangent there.
All right.
So, and then the third brand that does kind of similar thing, though some of their special editions do hold relative a little bit more value. They're not selling over retail, but they relatively hold a little bit more value. And that's Ulysse Nardin. They like to make a lot of Maxi Marine special editions.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be quite as hard on them because their production's much lower than both Hublot and
sure.
and Breitling. And I like their watches a little bit better too.
I also feel like I like UN better, but I also feel like UN organically sells all of their limited editions. You don't see a lot of them on the gray market.
Sure.
And you see a lot pre-owned, which means they trade between a lot of guys. It seems like when they come out with a limited edition, they really don't have too much trouble selling them out. And
right.
Unfortunately, when you buy into like a Breitling limited edition and it's 1,000 pieces, but they only sell 200 of them, and then the other 800 come up on the gray market, which gray market's something we touched on. We won't get into this episode. It's just unfortunate because now you bought into something that you thought was, you know, very, you know, rare or limited edition, and then they're everywhere.
Right.
So,
well, it's funny actually. Now that you say that, I had a customer who had a special request for a new Maxi Marine Chrono in rose gold, but it was a special edition with red and blue on the dial. They make it non special edition. He was not interested.
Right.
He wanted that specific watch. It's been sold out. The retailer can't get the watch. So, even though I doubt that's a watch that pre-owned would sell over list, there is certain demand for that watch, and I can't get it new, so I'd have to get it pre-owned.
Right. So
and
it
it's not even easy to find pre-owned.
Some organic demand, and also, you know, all of this, like I said, it depends on the end user, because there's also that like second kind of cool, right? Which just because you might think that it's got a weird color and it might not be worth as much later, and Josh and Jason said not to buy it. if it really does it for you and you feel like you're getting a fair discount, and if you don't know what that is, then call us and we'll tell you whether or not it's a good deal. You know, if we can't get you the watch, then I'm more than happy to tell you yes or no.
Captain Zed said something interesting, and I have to 100% agree with him. He says UNs look really good live versus online.
That's true.
Yeah, they look better on the wrist. Some watches look fantastic in pictures and kind of suck on the wrist in terms of the wearability. I've talked about it. Big Pilots.
Well, we were just talking about that 30 seconds before we came on the air with with the watch that we're going to show you in a minute.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and the last thing you want to take into account is, am I buying something from an off-brand, right? So something that's not a mainstream brand. So like Harry Winston, Gerard Perregaux, which we'll talk about in a second. I recently bought something from a company called Graff. They're known for diamonds. Graff Diamonds. I bought a special edition from them. You'll see it on our website in probably a week or two for well less than the original retail. Or like brands like Corum, too, that make like special editions. So if they're making, none of these companies have a high output in terms of watches. So if you walk into the boutique and see that it's, you know, they may have like an 8 or a 10 numbered special edition, just because they only made 8 or 10, it sounds like, well, how could this not be a great investment? It's not a good investment. So don't buy it as an investment. Buy it because you love it and you're not going to have to sell it. All right, so there you go. So
their market assessment.
Yeah, well, to sum it up, you know, pay attention to brands that sell really well, and then look at the watches that are less polarizing if you want to get into a special edition, right? And if you have any doubts, before you spend the money, because after you spend the money, you call me to sell it, I'm going to have to hurt your feelings. Before you get your feelings hurt, call somebody like us. It doesn't have to be our company. It could be another company. But call somebody who buys watches and ask them roughly what they're willing to pay for something like that at the moment.
And the amount of silence in between when you ask the question and we answer it is your answer in itself.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a weekly market assessment. Thanks for running through that with us, guys. We do want to hit one other thing real quick before we run out of time and go ahead and cut the show loose. But Josh and I just want to go ahead and pull the watches we purchased this week, and we're gonna air in on this. I'll let Josh go first with his.
We
coincidentally both brought GPs.
Yeah, this was not on purpose. And actually, full disclosure, I personally did not purchase this. Somebody else, you know, my good friend Brian Govberg purchased this watch. But this is the Gerard Perregaux Laureato Skeleton. It's 42 millimeter. And if you think this looks exactly like a AP Openworks, you might not be wrong. Is it you know, a quarter of the price or less? You might be right if you look at it that way. This thing is actually really awesome. I saw this in pictures. I tend to like GP. They call me a GP apologist in the office. I like the brand itself. Obviously, doesn't hold a ton of value on the resale, but I think this is a fantastic watch from a value standpoint as well. Let's get one little close up here. There you go. So it fits on my wrist so amazing. All right, 42 millimeters, in-house caliber. It's automatic. It's fantastic. And this is a watch that you can find pre-owned for less than $20,000.
So 30 seconds before we aired, that's the watch we were talking about. I actually like that watch quite a bit in person. I hadn't seen one yet. Don't know if it's worth the money to me.
I would spend $20,000 on one of these.
It wears much better than I thought it would.
But I'll tell you, the non skeletonized dial, which is probably going to sell for less than half of that, I'd be very interested to purchase that watch.
So Pilot Style 123 just want to shout out in the comments is asking what's going on with the watch roll giveaway, and that's in 20 seconds.
Yeah,
so
good question.
Hold on there. So this is a pretty cool GP for me. I wore this watch for about 2 hours today, kind of feeling it out. This is a East Coast limited edition GP. So this is an R&D series, research and development for the race team, and it's a chronograph pointer day. It's got a very cool idea for the chronograph, so it's reverse side. The chronograph, it's actually one of the only ones I've ever seen. It's pretty unique. So it has two running hands, and I'll show you that. So you see that red second hand. The yellow hand that you see at the 12 o'clock, which has a little arrow, is actually the minute counter for the chronograph.
Oh.
So they both run at the same time, as opposed to the chronograph being counted on a sub-dial, which I think is pretty cool. And then this is a limited edition, like I said, for East Coast. So it's got the custom.
Yeah, they used to make East a lot Coast of East Coast special
limited
edition
watches. And believe it or not, this watch exists only in 20 pieces. So this is number 5.
So that's
going to
be worth more than retail, Jason.
So I actually like this watch quite a bit, and it's got really good lume. I noticed that in the office today. So kind of a funky watch, but pretty cool.
Nice.
And then I know we're cutting it kind of long, guys, and we appreciate you sticking with us. So we did want to go ahead and let you know that we picked the winner. Yes, we did, for the wrist shot. And we actually have the winner's photos here. And our winner is Anthony Obst. And I hope I got your last name right. But Anthony went ahead and sent us three photos. That is a legit, genuine Monet painting that he saw in South Africa when he was wearing his watch. And the reason why we picked this winner is that picture right there. So Anthony went out of his way to photograph the reflection of the Monet in the high-polished case back, which kind of spoke to us. I thought it was a pretty cool kind of touch. So real quick, yeah,
Anthony. Congratulations, Anthony.
Yeah, congratulations. You're we're going to be shipping that out. And watch Anthony's roll. In Australia, so we're shipping that out.
We're sending it to Australia?
We are.
Oh, well, you're paying for
it's
that.
It's not alligator, so it's okay.
Jeez.
I just wanted to read real quick before you
pick
before
somebody
we get off.
Around the world.
His email with the photos, Anthony, we spoke. So, hi, Josh and Jason. Big fan of you guys' show a while now. I love
Brownie
the knives,
that,
Jason,
the
which was a nice comment. It's not why I chose you.
Brownie but, points.
My wrist shot was an Impressionist exhibition in South Australia, trying to get the reflection. Also, by the way, big fan since Wu days.
Yeah, there you go.
So, there you go.
I mean,
shout out
got
to
so
Anthony.
Many brownie points there.
Yeah. Yeah. Crammed it all in there. But we do want to say thanks a lot, guys, for all the submissions. We may have received, no exaggeration, 400 submissions.
Probably.
So it was quite a bit. So we're pulling up the poll right here. Oof, looks like pulled ahead a little bit.
This is BS, dude. The guys in the studio, please go on and vote.
So what do you call that when you voted for yourself?
I vote for myself every week, Jason.
Do
okay?
You?
Yes. Of course I do.
This is not getting
better.
If
you don't know what you're doing.
I didn't even know we could vote.
Oh, this is a nightmare.
All right.
Well, whatever. All right. So, but keep voting. The polls never really close ever. So just vote for eternity. And
Josh
then
is going to go home and log into all his different usernames.
Yeah, I'm hoping my wife just voted. If she didn't, I'm going to be very upset.
He's waiting for his dog. Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, guys. I think we're going to call that an episode. That's number 6. Mm-hmm. I hope you liked the assessment. I hope Anthony enjoys his watch roll, which isn't going to go to Australia. He'll probably get there
and you'll pay for that
14 days.
So, all right. So, guys, go ahead and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. Check us out on Instagram. Mine's really, really easy. It's like super simple. It's just my name, Mr. Thanos. It's really easy to find. You go ahead and follow me. I might even follow you back. Jason's got some terrible, obscure name. You want to tell everybody or no?
It's Evo X4B11. It's not terrible.
Evox 4B11.
Leave a comment. I'm planning on changing it. Leave a comment. Give me some cool recommendations. I did want to do one thing before we leave, and that's shout out the new classroom segment that we're doing on.
Right, classroom.
So
yeah.
The thing with the classroom, I don't know if you guys caught Sequan's episode number 1. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Both of us know Sequan really well, and I can tell you that stuff just comes off the top of his head.
Yeah, he makes it up on the spot, so all that stuff is
so
fake.
I like the way it's shot. It's very educational. It's very fun. So if you guys see the classroom segments, we're going to have a bunch of different guys doing
John's
their segments.
John's also.
Callahan's released, doing one. Mike Michaels, which is one I'm really excited for.
Yeah.
But
I
caught episode 1 yesterday, and
it's amazing.
I was very impressed.
You can watch that over and over again. You get more tidbits every time. So,
yeah
check out our classroom. Subscribe to Watchbox Studios, Watchbox Reviews. Check us out on Instagram, on Facebook, MySpace, Friendster, everything.
Smoke
all right,
signal.
Guys?
Yeah.
Smoke signals. All right,
guys.
And if you want to buy or sell any watches, give us a call. Anything nice, me. Anything crap, him. Bye.